Happy Sabbath to everyone. Yes, you pass. I visit a lot of Sabbath schools, and I can tell you that I grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist, and I know that Sabbath school, we used to do it by unit or by class, and especially when you come to the worship service. And so we always said, call to worship. That means all the programs we had before, we are preparing to the worship. And by participating in the Sabbath school this morning, I can see it's not, we didn't have someone who stand and keep talking. Eh? It was like a class, a debate, all right? And I really appreciate the fact that Hudson, you have an effective Sabbath school. And I will see Pastor Victor, and I will give him a plus. Yes, at the conference, we are leading four departments. When we start December 2023, they gave me three departments. And we add a fourth one. I found Personal Ministry Sabbath School, ACS. And we add Prison Ministry. But I can tell you, before December 2023, the conference didn't have an active Personal Ministry and Sabbath School at the conference level. After 36 years, we did not have a personal ministry in Sabbath school, an active department. We also have people who lead the department as a volunteer. But to have someone to lead the two departments, and since we start, we try to combine the three departments. Because you cannot have an effective Sabbath, an effective ACS, Adventist Community Services. And you know, Frankie, he did a marvelous job by letting the churches to have food pantries and other activities. But you cannot have an effective ACS if you don't have an effective Sabbath school. You cannot disconnect ACS with personal ministry in Sabbath school. Do you know why? Sabbath school is the department that helps you to know Jesus. We were there this morning. We were there and we studied the word. We know him. You know Jesus. What you know, you cannot keep it for yourself. Are you with me? You cannot keep it for yourself. You don't read the Bible to read the Bible. You read it to share. And sometimes you can say, I don't know how to share. And personal ministries, this is the department that's going to equip you, help you to do what? My left hand is Sabbath school. This is what you know about God, about Jesus. My head is personal ministries. We combine these two departments because what you know, personal ministry is going to equip you, train you to do what? To say what here? No. To go out of the world. The world is the building, the edifice is the building. And what you know, you're going to bring it to others on the street. This is community. ACS should be a practical aspect of the gospel. What I know, I cannot keep it for myself. What I know, I have to go on the street and share it with others. This is the three departments I'm leading. And this is the This is the philosophy behind the word synergy. They have to work together. And when you go to the conference website, you see this word, synergy. How to make sure that the three departments, they work together. If you want me to come back, we will come and we will share the philosophy of the three departments. And I'm very happy to be with you this morning to share a little bit about the Word of God. And I can tell you, I can report to you this morning that for those who have been living in this area for years, you know that we had the ABC. And for some reason, last year, the ABC closed. But let me tell you something. I'm not trying to replace ABC. But I can tell you, April 3rd, Friday, April 3rd, the Adam newspapers from Lancaster, South Lancaster, they wrote an article about something happened or what there at the former ABC facility. Do you know what it is? You don't know? We just opened a community collection center over there. Because I cannot imagine in this area we close Atlantic Union, we close ABC, and what we're going to offer to this community over there. And this is why we open right there a community collection center. And if you go every Tuesday behind the conference, we are using the ABC warehouse to give people food. Where they used to go to purchase food, where they used to go to purchase book, now they go there to receive free food. And I'm going to ask you to keep praying for us. Because this movement, it's not only to give people food only Tuesday, but we're going to see if we can use this facility as a community hub, other churches can come and receive things, receive training, and they can go to their own community, open new food pantries, open new collection center, open community that's going to help others. This is the movement. This is the message. Because right now, it's time now not to preach about Jesus. It's time now to let people see Jesus. This is the message that we are promoting. And now, let's move on to our sermon. We have for the church this morning, we are right here in Hudson Town. Hudson is a town of opportunity, but also a town where many are searching. And perhaps that is why this message speaks to powerfully to us today, in a community where people are navigating life's challenges, raising families, facing economic pressures, and seeking meaning. We are reminded that God is still at work. Just as people once came to a place like Hudson seeking a better life, Jesus continued to invite people into a new life with him. Today, we turn to a story about how a simple invitation can change a life forever. In John 1, verses 43 to 36, we see how the words "come and see" became the beginning of a transformation. Let us read the Word of God And I'm going to use the New International Version. Do you know why? You know that in the Adventist system, they use the King James Version, all right? But when your first language is not English, when your first language is French, you have to find out a version that can help you pronounce the word properly. All right, this is why I use New International Version, because my first language is French. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 43 to 46, he said, the next day, are you with me? The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are here this morning to hear your voice spoken to us. You're going to speak to each of us this morning. Let us open our heart and receive your word through your servant. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we reflect on the word of God, we turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 to 46. A decisive moment in the ministry of Jesus. In this passage, we witness Philip's encounter with Nathanael. When Philip shares the news of Jesus of Nazareth, Nathanael is filled with doubt and questions. This morning at the Sabbath lesson, we talk about a doubt. And when you have faith, can we question? It's normal to question. It's not a sin if you question. And God will come and God will answer your questions. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was Nathanael's question. But rather than arguing or trying to convince him with words, Philip invites him, saying, come and see. The Gospel of John presents a unique and profound account of Jesus' life and ministry. It emphasizes not just what Jesus did, but who he is. The Son of God, the Word made flesh. At the heart of this gospel is the theme of belief and the transforming power of encountering Jesus personally. In John 1, verses 43 to 46, Jesus begins to gather his first disciples through simple invitations. Philip doesn't debate Nathanael. He simply invites him into an experience. This reminds us that knowing Jesus is not just about information. It is about encounter. Let's see exactly how John was very careful about this segment, this story. Look at the way he showed Jesus' ministry unfold step by step. Look at, when you look at the chapter 1, you're going to see many times he used the word the next day. The next day, Jesus is revealed as the Lamb of God. Remember, when you look at the chapter, John the Baptist, he saw Jesus. He baptized Jesus. And the next day, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The next day, okay, before the next day, it was the baptism. After that, after the baptism, the next day, John Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The next day, disciples begin to follow him. The next day, Philip is called and he invites Nathanael. One day at a time, one invitation at a time, and that is how the movement of Jesus begins. One day at a time, one invitation at a time. Jesus finds Philip and says, "Follow me." Philip responds immediately, and then he goes to Nathanael. But Nathanael hesitates. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And I want you to take a moment and look at this chapter. And I want you to understand that when you receive Jesus, when you encounter, when you meet him, when you know him, it's not something that you're going to keep what here. You see what I'm saying? By the moment you meet Jesus, you know him, you have any knowledge about him, you have to do something. This is what we have right here in our chapter. And this is where we're gonna put more emphasis. We're going to concentrate our thought right here. And we're going to consider the action of Philip's action, when Jesus called him. He did not stay with Jesus only, but he did something. Because if Jesus is good for you, you cannot keep it for yourself. Are you with me? If you go to a restaurant and the food is good, what are you going to do? When you will go back, what are you going to do? You will invite someone. You will invite a friend. Because the food was delicious. And you're going to invite someone to taste the food. And this is the same thing. If Jesus is good for you, you cannot continue to eat Jesus for yourself. You have to go and invite someone to come and taste that Jesus. And this is what Philip was trying to do. When Jesus called him, he did something. He went straight to his friend Nathanael and said to him, "We found the one. We found him." And he said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Nazareth was overlooked and insignificant, unexpected. And yet that is exactly where Jesus came from. Instead of arguing, Philip simply says, "Come and see." And that invitation changed everything. What is the application for us today when we look at this scripture? Nathanael's story reminds us how easy it is to overlook God's work because it comes in unexpected ways. Sometimes you look at the person, you look at the pastor, you look at the preacher, you look at the neighbor, you look at your coworker, you look at him, and you think that I don't think God gonna use this person to talk to me. Sometimes people in Hudson may think, can anything good come out of my situation? Can God really change my life? Does anyone really care? You have someone in your work, someone in your neighborhood, someone in your family. Keep thinking like this. Can anything good out of my situation? Yes. God can change your situation. He did it for me. I can tell you, wherever I go, I said that when I first came to this country, I couldn't say one word in English. One word. But I can tell you, when God calls you, He will qualify you. Something good will come out because God will change your life. The answer is not just something we say. It is something we show. When I said we, it's not the pastor only. It's not the elder. We is you and I. And this is why we are talking about the TMI. TMI is not too much information. TMI is not too much information. TMI is total member involvement. Three lessons for total member involvement through this scripture. One, what here we see a call to a simple and direct approach. Philip did not argue, he invited. In the same way, total member involvement in Hudson is not about complicated methods. It is about simple, intentional invitation. Come and see. Come to church. Come to this program. Come receive help. This is what you and I are going to do for this few weeks coming. We're going to have a big camp meeting this year. We're going to invite three vital guest speakers. Charles Houghton Bird, Mark Finley, and John Bushler. It's going to be an evangelistic series, John Bushler. It's going to be an evangelistic series. During this week, we're going to have a preacher, guest speakers going to talk about welcome home. It's going to be an opportunity for you to invite a friend to be part of this camp meeting because God will use these speakers to touch people's hearts. Don't argue with them. The only thing you're going to let them know, come and see. Let's go together. A simple call, a simple approach. Come and see. Just invite them. Secondly, the importance of personal encounter. If you don't know Jesus, how are you going to talk about Jesus? If you don't have Jesus, how are people going to see Jesus? Because I said that now, it's time now not to talk about him. It's time now to show him. Are you with me? Because sometimes we open our mouth to talk about Jesus, but they don't see the Jesus that we try to talk about. They don't see it in our action. They don't see it in our approach. They don't see it in the way we are living Christianity. This is why it is very important for us now to show Jesus, not to talk about him only. Faith is not just thought. It is experienced. Through the We Care initiative, for those, if you go to the conference, I don't know if you see the van, the community service van, and you see We Care. If you go online to the conference, you will see people with the yellow jacket, We Care. We Care. We Care is not a slogan only. We Care is not a word. Because when you say We Care, you cannot stay passive and you say We Care. When you say you care, you have to show people, act. You have to act. We care. It's time now to show the world that we care. It's time now to show your coworker we care. It's time now to show your neighborhood we care. This is the message that we are promoting. And thirdly, the power of individual testimony. And I can tell you, I'm trying now to remember what my wife said to me. She said, Sho, when you're going to preach, stay calm. Because I feel like, when you are a Caribbean and you cannot stay like standing behind pulpit like this, I sometimes say, hey, be careful, stay calm, preach. And you feel the warm, if you feel like my tone, don't try to judge me. This is the way I am, and it's not my total Eve is preaching this morning, and I'm trying now to be cultural in my approach. But listen to me. This is something that I'm trying to promote in all our churches. Our members, they need to know that we are living at the end of time. This is the moment to show Jesus. And the power of individual testimony. Your life is a greatest sermon. Don't tell me you cannot preach. Don't tell me you cannot give a Bible study. Don't tell me you don't know how to give a Bible study. You don't need to open the Bible to keep talking about Sabbath, talking about whatever, but you can open your mouth and let people know about what Jesus has done in your life. He changed your life. You can use Jesus to talk about him. Your kindness, your patience, your willingness to serve, they speak louder than words. When people see Christ in you, they become curious about him. The moment they see the difference, they're going to say, wow, you don't need to let people know that you are different. This is pride. Don't ever say this. Don't ever use this to say, I'm different. No. You don't need to let them know that you are a Christian. Because the moment people call others Christian, it's not the Christian call them Christian. Others call them Christian. Don't say you are different. Let them see that you are different. How they're going to see you are different? When they're going to see the way you speak, they become curious. The way you dress up, they're going to, what happened to him? The way you want to serve others, they're going to say, man, why? All those questions, they will come and they're going to give you an opportunity to explain. This is the same way when you see people with the yellow jacket, Seventh-day Adventist, we care. This is a message that we are promoting. And by reading Seventh-day Adventist, we care. Imagine you put this Hudson SDA. Hudson Seventh-day Adventist, we care. And people will come to you and say, but you said you care. You care about what? It's going to be an open door for you to explain. Yes, we care because the God in heaven cares of you, cares about you. And because he cares, we care. And when, and I saw the thing when I came here this morning, I saw that you collecting items. You give thanks to the community. It's good. It's good. Because church is not the building. Church is us. And when we are somewhere, people, we have to serve them. Let them come over. Let them feel that we care. Our total member involvement means everyone has a role. Not just the pastor, not just the leaders, but every member. Through the We Care initiative, Hudson SDA Church is saying to the town, we see you, we care about you, and God cares about you. Whether it is through food distribution, clothing, support, prayer, or simply listening, each act becomes an invitation to come and see. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' ministry did not begin with crowds. It began with individuals. One invitation, one connection, one life at a time. Follow me. Come and see. And that small beginning changed the world. Brothers and sisters, this message is for you and I. What here in Hudson? A town is filled with people who are searching for hope, carrying burdens, facing uncertainty. Through total member involvement and the We Care initiative, we have a powerful opportunity, not just to meet needs, but to touch hearts. Not just to give resources, but to reveal Jesus. When people come to our outreach efforts, they may come for help, but what they should experience is love. Some will come with doubts. Some will come with pain. Some will wonder if God has forgotten them. But through your kindness, through your smile, through your service, they will begin to see Jesus still cares. Your kindness may be the first sermon they hear. Your compassion may be the first Bible they read. And through that experience, a journey with Christ may begin. So today, I encourage every member of Hudson SDA Church, get involved. Invite someone. Serve someone. Pray for someone. And when the moment comes, simply say, come and see that the Lord has done. You don't need to go and to give a major Bible study. I know some of you can say, I don't know how to give a Bible study. You don't need to start with a major Bible study. Just go with your smile. Smile. Just go with the spirit, the mindset of service. Serve. What you can do, do it. And listen to me. If this morning you realize that you got a good food, a good spiritual food, a good sermon, next Saturday, you cannot come back to the church without a friend. Because if God is good for you, you have to show the goodness of God. You cannot keep this goodness for yourself. Let's go together. Like the same Philip did, he went on the street and invited Nathanael and said, come and see. Let's go on the street. Invite your coworker. Invite your neighborhood. Invite a friend. Invite a relative. Just say only one word. We're going to have a big camp meeting from June 19 to June 27. We're going to have three major guest speakers. The only thing I'm going to tell you, you will never regret if you go with me. Let's go. And if the person is going to ask you all type the question about what happened what happened over there for the Atlantic Union, for the ABC, you don't need to give any answers about those questions. The only thing you're going to let them know, come and see. Brothers and sisters, let's move on and let's go on the street and invite a friend, just said.